Restaurateur The Spur Corporation released their half-year results. Being in the dining business, their enterprise was hit hard by the COVID-19 related regulations. For the 6 months ended December 2020, the company reported that group revenue declined by 42.2% to 314.2 million rand, while diluted headline earnings per share declined by 74.5% to 31.88 cents. The company says that owing to markedly slow trade and lower cash generation as a result, shareholders would not be getting an interim dividend on this occasion. Well, to take us through how their operations fared, I'm joined on the line by Spur Corporation's newly appointed CEO, Val Nikas. Thanks very much for joining us, Val. Now, it's been a really tough time for the restaurant and hospitality sectors, among others. And of course, regulations put in place to curb the spread of the virus, unfortunately, will have no doubt badly affected your business.
Yes, if you do look at our numbers, you'll see we had a direct impact, especially on the strict lockdown in April, where we basically had zero restaurants trading. So that was very difficult for us as a network. And we obviously had to try and respond promptly to what we were going to do. And then, of course, the first few months of the lockdown, I think we all thought it's going to be closed for 3 weeks and then it's going to be forgotten. But then it continued. And there were some stringent measures. I think as a casual dining restaurant group, it was really difficult to trade with delivery only initially, then with limited capacity, limited trading hours.
Yes.
And then, of course, the ad hoc ban on alcohol didn't help either.
Indeed.
So, yes, we had a direct impact in our most difficult months. We were only trading at about 15% of previous year, and then we clawed back to about 75% of previous year and then dropped again.
Yes.
So just before lockdown level one was relaxed, we were trading at minus 31%. And already in February, we've seen an improvement and we about minus 18%. And of course, the 1st of March, the announcement was very well received because we're basically doubling our capacity from 50 people to 100, even though our restaurants are a lot bigger than that. We can seat anything from 200 to 250 and more. But we're very grateful that we've got this additional capacity and also the extended trading time.
Yes. Now, Val, obviously you've gone very fast forward because you've come to the present. But I just want us to go back to, as you saw how, you know, the land laid in terms of the uncertainty of regulation and the development of the COVID-19 pandemic, in the face of such huge operational challenges, what decisions were taken to keep the franchise at least alive, given considerably less revenue from traditional business, while I suppose the usual overheads also stayed in place?
Yes. So the brands definitely responded very quickly and nimbly to try and answer to the takeaway need of the consumer. So our own loyal customers who could no longer come and enjoy a meal at our restaurants were looking to obviously engage with us on home deliveries. So what the company did then was launch 14 virtual kitchen brands, which we call in VK brands, across the various categories. Mm. We had a couple around pizza, some in burgers, some in ribs, etc.
Yes.
And those were put into proof of concept from May on a sort of staggered take on by franchisees. We have 423 restaurants that participated in the VK brand.
Mm-hmm.
Some were more successful than others. So from May onwards, we're reducing that to 7 of the best ones. And they'll move into proof of concept for another 6 months. And of those, the winners were definitely the pizza and the burger categories, which are really good delivery categories, and we know that from the market.
Yes.
And then we've had one main winner leading the pack, which is a brand, a VK brand called Bento's, and it's quite a funky sort of very simple but tasty burger that we're promoting.
Right.
And that's really had a good response at Uber. It's had a 25% reorder rate.
Right.
So the response from the market was really good and nimble, and we responded quickly to say, well, we've got to get into takeaway. We also increased our spend on online advertising with the online and third-party aggregators to promote delivery and click and collect.
Mm-hmm.
So not only did our third-party deliveries increase, but so did our takeaways overall.
Mm.
So
Val, in the six-month period under review, which of the brands that you run appear to be more resilient, if at all?
Okay, so Spur, even though it's delivered a negative growth, which is understandable because of the trading hours, it still delivered a very good performance relative to the market conditions. I mean, there's still people queuing to come and sit down and come and celebrate, but we can only house 50 people at a time.
Mm.
So I think relative to the conditions, I think Spur has done well under the conditions. And then I think probably our rising star is Rocker Mamas. It traded only about short of 15% of previous year, and it's now on par with last year.
Super.
I think it was well poised for the changes in the market. It's a hamburger category. It's easy to serve that over the counter. It's easy to deliver it.
Mm.
It's in good sites where people can access it easily. It's got the right attitude and brand positioning. So that's definitely done really well.
Yes.
Our other few brands, obviously our specialty restaurants suffered a lot because of the loss of dinner sales and alcohol sales. You know, those are longer casual dining visits, you know, going and having dinner, enjoying it, having starters, having main course. But they are relatively small in our stables. And then our two brands, Panarottis and John Dory's, whilst they trade in a very important and lucrative category, one being seafood, one being pasta, they didn't perform as well as our mother brand, but also understandably because of the market conditions.
Indeed. Now, within the franchises, how were workers dealt with and supported during the period?
So the restaurant staff, each franchise owner was accountable to get the TERS support. So that was handled. We didn't face lots of a loss of jobs in the restaurant. We did have some casual waiters that obviously weren't utilized during
yes.
this period because of the low capacity.
Mm.
But people were looked after in terms of all the support. And I think a lot of franchisees who have been running these restaurants for years and have got a lot of loyal staff, their aim was to retain the people. But obviously some of the casuals were affected.
Mm. Now, of all the lockdown phases, would you say that the imposition of Level 3 in December was the worst? I mean, how bad did things get at that time when you would have expected a lot of festive traffic and so on?
Yes, December was really disappointing. As you quite rightly said, it's the peak trading season of any retailer, and especially a food retailer. And we were tracking relatively well till the middle of December, and then the announcement came to close the beaches. In fact, it was earlier in December.
Mm.
And we saw a dramatic shift. In fact, people were flying back immediately. We had up to a 40% drop in turnover in the coastal regions, particularly Eastern Cape and Western Cape.
Mm.
We did claw back some of that lost turnover in the inland, but not enough to improve the December trade.
Yes. Now, going back to what you were telling us about the now the country's back to level one of the lockdown as of
yes.
the beginning of this week, with the limits on gatherings having eased somewhat. How significant yes. is this for you guys? What practical changes at head office level have you started to advise franchisees to follow?
So Nompu, interesting enough, this Saturday I was in restaurants, and it was incredible to see our loyal customers waiting in a queue 20 deep, sitting on benches we provided to wait to get a seat, and some standing in a queue. So I think the response to now moving from 50 PAX capacity to 100, I think, is going to be a dramatic improvement for the business. And I think our franchisees are most relieved to have that opportunity, and also the extended trading hours. We can basically trade our full hours, which is trading till 10, so your last order can be till then.
Yes.
Whereas before we had to get everyone back before curfew. So we will continue with giving them the marketing support, giving them the support they need. We are also on a one-on-one basis going to be looking at stores that are still struggling to offer them the support. As you know, for the 11 months, we offered a blanket franchise concession on the fees. What we'll do now is start looking at the stores that aren't trading and really look at the support on a one-on-one basis, because there are some stores that are trading well, and then there's some sites like the casino sites, the airport sites, and the resort sites like Sun City. Those are high volume sites and they're really not doing well at the moment because of all the problems in those areas, lack of tourism, hotels not really in full capacity, etc.
Yeah,
so those will need more care.
Yeah, so I was going to say, yeah, no doubt you continue to support those, because you know when things go back to normal, in inverted commas, it will be back to those high volumes.
Yes, and Nompu, our philosophy and our view was that our primary aim is to keep the restaurants open. We need to do whatever we can with our franchise partners. Obviously, we've had the landlords giving support, especially in the beginning, but that's our aim. We just can't afford to close restaurants, and I'm pleased to say that in the last 6 months of the trading period, we didn't close many stores at all. Mm-hmm. Out of our 633 locally and internationally, we closed 22. And a lot of those were problem stores already, not just as a result of COVID. They just couldn't sustain COVID.
Yeah. Now, in times like these, I suppose survival is at the forefront of things, but presumably you are looking beyond this COVID era. Are there any expansion plans in play at all?
Yeah, so there's no definite plans that we can announce at this stage, but we are busy with our teams looking at future growth, and yes, we are going to have quite a robust strategy in terms of how that growth is going to come. Obviously, a lot of it will be from our own brands that still have a lot of potential in the market, and then we are looking at some new formats. We are looking at some other opportunities, whether they're homegrown brands, whether it's expanding the VK brands, or whether it's bringing in an area that we don't have or a category that could complement our current portfolio. So no plans that we can announce as yet, but a lot of work happening behind the scenes.
That was Nal Nichas. She's the CEO of Spur Corporation.